The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with, I'm just going to say it, I'm going to go out and be biased, my favorite guest in the whole wide world. If you guys listen to the podcast enough, you hear me brag about my amazing bride. Most of you figure she's probably not real or not half as cool as I say she is. So boom, every now and again, we got to have her on to the podcast, the lovely Natalie Campion. Say hello, my love.
Hey, everybody. It's so fun being on here with you, babe.
She says that, but before she's always like, I don't know if I look. So just so you know what our mornings looked like, I rolled out of bed, put on a shirt and pants. You can't see them, but I'm actually wearing pants. And that was it. My bride spent 3 to 7 minutes longer looking good for the people who are joining us on YouTube and not on the podcast. So, all right, here's what I've been dying to do this. We've done hundreds of episodes. We haven't done this before and I'm dying to talk about it. So one of the things we get when we coach folks is either when they're coming into the program or they're in the program, there's kind of two levels of crap that they get. When they're coming into our program, it's like, I don't know, I got to talk to my spouse, all that sort of stuff. And I want to talk to I know how I feel about that when it comes to business, but I want to, as opposed to me just coaching, I want to have my real life spouse on here. And the second thing can get into the, once we start coaching people, it's like, well, I want this, my spouse wants this. And I want to kind of talk about that as well. So let's talk about, I guess it's not really just coming into our program, just any big investment. So my poor bride knows we do well and we're successful, but we've been less successful than we are now by a lot. And I've spent a lot of money on my education, right? I'm not talking college. I'm talking courses and mentorship and mastermind groups, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't think we've hit a million yet, but we're well into the hundreds.
We might
hit a million. I don't know. So yeah. Plenty of money. And it's tough because my bride is always like, whatever you think is best, which I appreciate, but I know most of you guys don't have that. So I just wanted to ask you, Natalie, what makes you always so like, you got this? And again, now it's easier. It's like, oh, you make a bunch of money. So it's like, I trust you, but that's not always been the case. And you've always been that way. And then what feedback would you have for, it doesn't have to be wives, just spouses who's, you know, crazy business owners. Like, I want to invest in whatever it is, myself, the business, training, masterminds, talk to us.
You know, it's a little bit easy in our situation because I trust you because I know you're just so capable and smart.
I have her on, ladies and gentlemen.
I know that there's going to be some swings and misses, right? Like nothing is perfect 100% of the time. But if you don't invest in yourself and if you don't invest in your training, what other options do you have? Like the School of Hard Knocks, which is just like, I guess, trial and error, kind of fumbling through the dark and trying to figure it out, which could be far more expensive and far more costly in time and energy and effort than seeking out education, training, and coaching. We have a track record of 16 years now, and I've seen you invest in yourself and in our business and in our team members and myself. Like you're always there like, okay, let's get some help. Let's get some training. Let's educate ourselves. And sometimes it works out amazing and sometimes it doesn't, but the overall gain that we've gotten has been immeasurable. And so because of that track record, I just know like, yeah, I have to support you. I have to back you up because what good is it going to do if I'm like, that's not going to work. And I don't know. And it's like, if I knew better, then I would do it, but I don't. And I trust you and I need you to be the leader in our marriage and in our business. And if I'm not there to back you up and support you, then where do we go from there?
What you guys and gals just heard, Natalie laid out some really key stuff that I don't want to get missed. So first of all, I want you to hear loud and clear what she said. They've not all been home runs. The worst I can think of off the top of my head is we got the podcast that y'all are listening to that does really well. And I was like, man, it'd be a great syndicated radio show. And I think I'm too lazy to do all that myself. So I paid a syndicator to help us. And it had to be 20, 30 grand. I don't remember the amount, but it was not cheap. And this is before we weren't broke by any stretch, but it wasn't a small amount of money for us. and nothing, just zero results. So that's the first thing is it is easy to look at anything and go, well, and pick out the losers. But I love Natalie's math. And this is the math I would encourage you to do is the total ROI, right? Like, you know, we just want to get up and hit home runs. We never want to, but it's like to get home runs, you have to strike out and you have to have singles and you have to have doubles. And every now and again, you get hit by the ball. So if you're like just counting on, well, I remember you struck out three at-bats ago, no more at-bats. That's poor people thinking, right? So I love Natalie and that support makes it all. And we don't all have that support in the world. So the couple of things I want you to hear is first of all, look at the overall return on your time and money investment. There's going to be some wins. There's going to be some losses. Some stuff I can directly say, oh my gosh, I got a 10 or 50X return on that money invested. Other stuff, I'm like, I know I got a return, like who I am and some of the decisions, but I can't really direct a clear thing. And very few of them are, I put the time and money in, I didn't. And by the way, I'm sure there's scam people out there. Maybe I've even been scammed, but I don't feel that way. I feel all the stuff I did had some value, right? So some were home runs, some were singles, some were doubles. And if I didn't have Natalie, she was just constantly picking up the strikeouts or the singles. I don't think I'd ever get to hit a home run. So that support for your spouse is huge. And the last thing that's the most important, and I'm going to throw it back to Natalie, is when we externalize that training sucks, that thing sucks. It feels better, right? We don't have to take responsibility for our own actions, but we don't get the result we want. I internalize the training I've got the most value out of is the training I went all in on. Right. And hence, by the way, don't buy the cheap crap, right? A $50 or $100, $500 book or whatever that you're going to, or course that you put on the shelf. They can be helpful. I'm not saying they're useless by any stretch. And even if the content is great, we're not tempted to do it. Right. So when it costs some money for me, I've been a lot more committed. And guess what? When you're committed, you tend to get results. So the big thing I would say is internalize that crap. And if you get good results, go, yeah, because I really implemented the training. And if you get bad results, it's easy to point at your life or the coach or the world or COVID or whatever the crap may be, which is good for feeling better, but not good for being successful. So really internalize and go, what did I do? What could have I done? Even some trainings would be great and some would be okay. But what we choose to do with it is a lot more with us than it is with the training. What are your thoughts on that from kind of a spouse's perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And even when there are things that don't pan out, you seem to find something that you've gained from it. Like even if it's a loser, you're like, okay, what can I gain from this? How can I use it? How can I benefit from it? What can I educate myself on in this situation? You never tend to be like this, woe is me, life just happened to me, I'm a victim of this circumstance mentality. You are a, okay, I tried something, it didn't work. What can I learn from that? It's like that, you know, the WD-40 mentality where it's like, they call it WD-40 because 39 didn't work, but 40 did, and they learn something each time. So whenever you want to invest in something, I don't have any apprehension. I'm like, yeah, go for it. If it works, fantastic. If it doesn't, you're going to learn something that's even more valuable than the money that we lost on that particular program or coaching.
I'm going to have the opportunity to learn something, right? Right. I can choose to just flip off the world and go, that sucks. Everything sucks. I hate everybody. So let's be clear, guys, gals, you have the opportunity to learn something. You know, once you pay the education, the tuition to your college, it's really up to you. You know, you can have a zero experience at Yale or you can have a transformational experience at Yale. The tuition's the same. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah. And I think that like, that's what allows me to trust you implicitly when you want to spend large amounts of money on something. It's not that I think you are infallible and like everything that you touches turns to gold, which it typically does, but it's not because you have this knack for picking out winners. It's your mentality of like, I'm going to make this work no matter what. So whether the whatever program or training or coaching or seminar or anything that we choose is good, bad, great, terrible, I know that you personally are going to take that ownership mentality to the nth degree. And whether or not it was good or bad, like I trust you implicitly to make the best out of that situation.
And guys, gals, if you're going to talk to your, we're going to talk about coming up here. Now I'll tell you what we're talking about. So you can tell me. So that's amazing. So I can hear half of Cleaning Nation screaming out there. That's great. My spouse isn't that way, right? Like, good for you. You've got an amazing wife that's like super supportive. My husband or my wife is not supportive. As a matter of fact, he's downright pissed that he's crap. He's done with my shenanigans. He's not supportive. So as you're kind of thinking about how you would encourage both the owner and the spouse of the owner to respond to that, let me just kind of for the record say, we have a multi-million dollar coaching business where we get millions of dollars a year to coach other people. I'm still investing $70,000 of my money every year. It goes up and down per year, but right this year it's 70. It's actually gonna be more than that. And not to mention what I invest in my company, that'll probably be another $50,000 for my employees and things like that to get trained. So I just want you guys and gals to know, a lot of people are like, I know what I'm doing, but well, those are usually the young, dumb people that don't know anything and need the training the most. Oftentimes the people that need the training the least get it and they're the most successful. So for any of you guys who are going, oh, once I get rich, then I'll get training. It's like, no, you get the training and then you get rich, right? That's the guy sitting in front of the fire going, you put in wood, you know, you give me some heat, I'll give you the wood. And the fire's like, that's not how this works, right? So it's frustrating as a trainer because I see the other people in my groups that are investing tons of money in training. They're super successful. The poor people have it backwards. Like, well, they could, once I get rich, then but it's like, no. That like, you know, I still remember I bought my first Service Master franchise. It took my wife at the time, Natalie and I have been married together like 15, 16 years. So this is 20 some years ago, had saved up 10 grand, which to me was all the money in the world. And we invested that in the building and then borrowed another $55,000 on top of that. And to me, that was all the money in the world. So all that to say, yeah, that the people that I was broke when I started investing, same thing with keeping good books. Oh, I'm broke. I don't need to keep good books. I'm broke. No, you're broke because you don't keep good books. So make sure you get the chicken and the egg. All right. In the right order. So Natalie, you're an amazing human being and I appreciate so much the support, but probably more than 50% of our listeners don't have that support. So what do you say both to the unsupporters, and it's not a man woman thing. It's really just kind of an owner and hopefully supporter of the owner or non-supporter of the owner. What do you say to both the owner? How can he or she lovingly still lead and do what he needs to do or she needs to do to make the business work? And then what do you say to the unsupportive spouse in a loving way to help them kind of be effective and assuage their fears, right? They don't want to go broke and they've got, it's not like they have completely unfounded fears, but talk to us.
I think it's a two-pronged issue. I think it's a lack of communication and kind of like a fear of having to explain things. So I think when, you know, I obviously trust you implicitly and you've gotten to me to the point where now I'm kind of out of the business, retired. But you still come to me.
That's the girl doing a podcast for the business as we speak. So mostly twice a year, the podcast. It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah. Going from like where I was to now, this is fine. But you still come and ask me for my opinion because you value my opinion. It's not a platitude where you come in and say, hey, I want to spend $70,000 a year on this coaching program. What do you think? Like you listen. And you take my feedback and you value my opinion because you respect me. And that gives me all the space in the world to go, okay, he really does value me. He appreciates me. He wants to make sure that I'm on board and I can give the feedback and not just ask because you feel like you have to, but because you really value my opinion. And that gives me a lot of freedom to trust you. I think in a lot of marriages where you have one entrepreneur and another person that is either not working or works with them, but doesn't really want to, there's no communication, right?
They have a job, they don't even get what that looks and feels like.
Right. And so there's no communication on that point. And so they feel like condescended to or bullied and they don't feel valued. They feel like there's this one person making a decision and whether it works or not, they suffer the consequences. And so subconsciously, instead of going, okay, we've made this financial decision and I'm going to support you because I want to make sure that this financial decision has the best chance of success, I'm resentful and bitter and you don't value me and you don't even want to explain it to me. And so that lack of communication breeds this distrust. And because they're not supported, then it fails. And then it reinforces that spouse's belief that they're just wasting money and they don't care. Exactly. So there needs to be a leap of faith and an actual push to support. Like, okay, I may have my reservations about this investment, but we've made it. And I don't have any other alternatives. Like, the business is stalled, or we're not doing well financially and we're stuck. And I can either badger, nitpick, and pick out all the flaws and faults, in which case it's just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Or I can go, you know what? We're going to do it. How can I support you? How can I love you? You know, do you need help going through this stuff? Do you need me to be a sounding board? And it doesn't sound fair, right? Especially when the majority of entrepreneurs are men, and then the women already kind of feel subjugated in that way. But it's like that the real strength is saying, how can I support you? How can I make this win? How can we be a team? We're in the same boat. There's a hole in it. I could yell at you about the hole, or I can help you plug it in, or help bail out the water while you're plugging the hole. And it takes strength to do that. And you'll find that once you actually do that, then you'll actually start to see that you have success, not just in the business, but in your marriage, right? Like, that common goal and going through that not only helps your spouse feel loved and supported, but you also have this common experience where you've gone through the trials and tribulations. I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel alone, like their spouses don't understand, don't care, don't want to talk about it, don't want to hear it. And so they feel alone. So they don't try to share their stresses or woes with you. And all you see is this spouse that's stressed out and maybe taking it out on you, and you kind of resent them. But if you can come together and go, what are you going through? How can I support you? Can I talk to you? That bond will be huge. Like, I just don't see a downside to two spouses coming together and kind of understanding the stress and helping one another. So there's two benefits to it, and there's two prongs on how you can actually come together.
It's a spiral. It's either going to spiral up with like mutual support and respect, and that makes the entrepreneur more successful, the supportive person happier, better marriage, or a downward spiral of the entrepreneur constantly feeling kind of gone behind or undermined, and then failing, and then the spouse going, see, you always fail. That's tough on a marriage, and it's tough on both psyches. So I guess from the entrepreneur perspective, I give you guys, like, I love my wife. I respect her. I've said it before, I love this business. I love serving you guys. I love my team. If Natalie really said, out, don't do it, that would be the end of Grow My Cleaning Company. Like, I feel that strongly about it. However, when she doesn't and she supports it, at the end of the day, I'm going to make the financial decision with the company because I'm the leader. I take the flack when it doesn't go right. And I, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to have the responsibility, I need the authority. So I personally, again, because as much as I value this, you know, it's probably God first, my wife and kids second, and this business third. So the business is very high on my list, but it still ain't first, right? And even second. But if I'm working with Natalie and she said, she's really not going to support the business, I'm probably not going to be in the business. But it's not fair for a spouse to go, I want you to go out and have this business, make a bunch of money, but I'm going to micromanage how you do it. It's like, well, then you should be the entrepreneur. So be okay getting clear with your spouse. Just like Natalie said, it's communication, right? So if I'm just like, shut up and sit. And the beautiful thing is I listen to her feedback because she's smart. So she doesn't feel like she has to bully me into anything because I want her feedback. So she's trying to shoehorn it in. But at the end of the day, if she's like, I don't want you to do this, or I don't know, you know, because it's not her business, I've got to be the leader. And she respects that. And even if she didn't, I'd have to be like, baby, this is the way it's going to be. And I'm not saying that because I'm a man and you shut up and I'm smart. Literally, I would shut the whole daggum thing down if she didn't want. But if we agree together, this is the business you're going to go in, I'm going to kind of demand her support and like, hey, you're going to have to let me, this might cost money. It is going to cost time and money, right? If she's like, I support you in this business. I want you to do it, but you can't spend any time or any money. It's like, well, that's not going to work, right? So I just encourage you, like, of course, I'm not saying like, don't listen to your spouse. You do what you want. Like, more times than not, Natalie's smarter than I am. Like, I listen to her because I'm smart and she's smart, not because I'm trying to be a good husband. So I just want to encourage you, be okay setting boundaries up front of, you know, if it's going to ruin your marriage, if I got to pick between a business or financial success and my wife every time, done and done. But if and when we as a team say, hey, go out and build this thing, she's kind of got to give me the leeway to go out and build this thing. And even when it costs time or money and takes longer and it's more expensive and it's harder and things suck, you know, she's like, I support you as long as things are going great, but not if anything goes wrong, I'm out. Or you spend any money.
Oh, no, that's the case.
All right. So gosh, I wanted to spend a lot of time. I want to spend more time on kind of how to work in the business, but I feel like we're running our time here. So I think that's an overview. Natalie, any closing thoughts that need to be said or didn't get said or clarifications you want to make or value you can give to Cleaning Nation?
I just think communication is key. Like if there's something that is not working in your business, get coaching, get help, find somebody that's been able to do it and then seek out their help. And then make sure that your spouse is like, understand, hey, I'm stuck. I'm not Superman. I can't make this happen. This is for you and me and our family. And I need your support. And if it fails, it doesn't help to say, I told you so. Like, I know that, you know, I think entrepreneurs, you have to have that type A mentality, but at the same time, you have a lot of fear, right? Like you're the leader, the whole weight of the financial stability of the family is on you. And of course you have fear. Like, what if I'm going to fail? Of course you have fear. Like I'm going to look stupid. And the last place that you need that is from your spouse. So having that upfront conversation with them and giving them the benefit of the doubt to rise to that occasion and support you and value their opinion is huge.
And at the end of the day, if and when your spouse screws up, and they will, right? I become a pretty good husband, but I make mistakes all the time. And my wife's the best wife and she makes mistakes all the time. So when Natalie makes a mistake, I'm like, see, dummy, look how dumb you are. One of two things is going to happen. One, she's not going to believe me and hate me. Okay, that's not great. Two, she's going to believe me and go, yeah, I'm an idiot. I suck. I'm the worst. Good job for me. Like she goes there, like, what have I won? Like, what have I accomplished making my wife feel terrible? Even if I hated her, didn't care about her, I just cared about me having a mopey wife that thinks she's miserable. To what end? It doesn't even serve. It's not like she loses and I win. We pissed in the whole pool here. The whole thing shot. So I just want to encourage you as an entrepreneur, as a spouse, we all know being an entrepreneur is tricky, right? There's a reason it pays a little different than a 40-hour week job. And it is, Natalie said something really good. She's like, oh, a lot of times, you know, sometimes women, if the female's an entrepreneur, she feels subjugated, or the support person, male or female, feels subjugated below the entrepreneur. Entrepreneur is a tough job. It requires a lot of support. Being the spousal support of an entrepreneur, a tough job, also requires some support. So, all right, guys, gals, if you dig this and want more Natalie, just or more of this kind of conversation, reach out and let us know. It's a little different than our typical business stuff, but I thought it was important and I want to talk about it. So let us know if this is the kind of stuff you like. If you do want more of tactical and employees and all that other good stuff that's also important, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Right now, we've got the best place to start. It's our free on-demand master course. It's the best like 40, 50 minutes of training we've got. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.